Our reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Oh, gracious God, through me or in spite of me in these next few moments, help us feel alive and new. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. Well, Patsy has the friend that comes a couple of times every year to visit for a few days with us this weekend, and yesterday we took a ride. She didn't really know how to understand a lot about my life, so I took her back to where I was raised and where I put my toes on the ground for the first time, down in Clay County, next to Hatchet Creek. Right up from this place, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, we kept going down this road, and she kept saying, "Oh, are we okay up here? Are we going to be safe up here and everything?" And I said, "Yeah." And we visited the old place there where I grew up, and I called all those people my uncles and aunts, and they weren't really related to me, but I called them all uncles and aunts and still do until this day. But I wanted to get a picture of a well that was on the place next to the home that we lived in, because the house has been long gone, but the old well still stands there. See, it was a well that when I was 3 years old and living there, a tornado came through there and just ripped everything up and tore the top off the bank in Ashland, Alabama, back in the early 1950s. And an uncle of mine, because the tornado was coming, ran out to the well, lowered the rope, lowered the bucket, put me in the bucket. I was small enough, he told me, "Stand in this bucket." Lowered me down in the well and tied me off down safely underground in that well. And he and mother hit the ditch and covered up with a mattress. And I wanted a picture of that well. And one of these days, I'll show you a picture of that well, because we got it yesterday and it was neat. Well was still there. House was gone. The old barn back behind was still there. And I can remember my dad taking a board off that barn where the tornado had driven broom straw through the board on the side of the barn. And taking it, showing it how powerful it was. I had all kinds of memories as we drove down the little road, because the gate was open. Usually the gate's closed right there. I thought, well, the gate's open. The worst the guy that owns it now can do is tell us to leave. I drove down the little road, and here comes this man walking up. And I told him who I was, and I told him what I wanted. He said, "Get out." He said, "Come on." He said, "You can't just tell me that and everything. I got a house built down here about a quarter of a mile in the woods." He said, "Y'all come on down to the house. We'll sit on the porch. I want to talk to you. I want to know more about this land that I bought." So what we don't normally do, Patsy and I and Suzanne got in the car and we drove on down about somewhere between a quarter and a half mile down a little single lane old logging road that was there. And here's this new house built down there with a big place cleared out from behind. Came to find out he collected antique cars and he's going to build him a place to store his antique cars and everything. Had a pole barn, a new pole barn where the old house used to stand. All kinds of stuff under there. we sat down and he said, I want you to tell me something about this stuff. And I said, you know what? Right out there. You see that place right out there where you got, you see a turkey coming there all the time. I said, that's where the pea patch was. And up there across from the pole barn where you got that open field, that's where we planted corn and peas in the corn. And so the peas would run up the corn. Some of y'all have run that and done that. And we planted half peas and half beans. So the beans would run up the corn. Planted watermelons in the middle of everything. And all of that together in the same patch. And he was just mesmerized, you know, thinking. I said, I plowed my first mule right there. I said, I can go walk to the spot where I plowed my first mule. For the first time in my life, I felt like an old man telling this guy the history of the place. And he was drinking it up, you know, and we just sort of sat there together as I shared my history on that land. And he shared his dreams and his love for that land and the fact of restoring the fact that he grew up with a grandmother and grandfather on a place in another county, very similar to that, and he had bought this land so he could restore it, and he wanted to make it new again, and he wanted new things to happen, and he wanted it to be his haven where he could get away and really talk about things. He wasn't interested in that land lying fallow anymore. He was interested in renewing it and restoring it and reviving it. You know, the land and the well as the land. See, I told him, I said, boy, that well used to have good water. I can remember we work all day and we'd go up and we'd pull a bucket up and we'd take a dipper, an old gourd dipper, for those of you old enough to remember. We'd drink that water and it would run down all over me. How great it was. And he said, well, I tested the well, and he said, the well's got some bacteria in it, but I've got some new plans for the well. And I didn't think a whole lot about it, but we went on. See, this guy was exciting to talk to because he was energized by the hopeful future he could see for what was once just ruins, just an old place that people would drive by and say, boy, wonder about the folks who lived here. But it reminded me that hope is that thing that energizes the human spirit. You see, it's hope that keeps us going, and hope is necessary for survival. Individually, it's necessary. For families, it's necessary. For churches, it's necessary. And for all the peoples of the world, hope is the one thing without, I think we just sink into depression and die. The scripture today is a scripture that dated back centuries from when John wrote it in Revelation. It follows the theme of Isaiah, when Isaiah said, that day will truly come when God will create a new heaven and God will create a new earth. Former things shall not be remembered or even come to mind. The things of yesterday will not be remembered or even come to mind. John said it, Isaiah said it, and every prophet who has ever lived and every human being who has ever walked the face of the earth dreams for that day when newness will come and that stuff back there will be no more. A time when the temporary becomes eternal. A time when that which we worry about, we cease to worry about. A time when joy and peace will rule our hearts and our minds, and there will be no more crying, neither will there be any more pain, neither will there be any more suffering or conflict or war shall be no more. Hatred shall cease to exist. A day when things are new. The writer described it as there will be no more sea. That's a huge statement when you understand the time. Remember, that's when people thought they sailed out and there were sea monsters on the edge. That's when they thought when they sailed out, they had to take oranges. Remember your history as you grew up to keep the scurvy from down because there was no good nutrition other than fish and salty water. That day would come when that obis would be no more. But all would be fresh water and all would be good to survive, to continue life and survive life and to nurture life. And the writer says there'll be no more sea, but water comes as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The holy city will come down as a bride adorned for her husband. Think about that for a minute this morning. How much more hope do you have than at a wedding? Here these two become one new partnership, and all the possibilities of newness break forth. Potential new life, potential new birth, potential new ways of living together. What imagery the writer uses. And I said, wow, I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait to when that is an everyday occurrence. How about you? Can't wait until that's an everyday occurrence. And then I said, now wait a minute. Just yesterday, I visited an old place, met a new man who talked to me about a new barn, a new house, new hope, and a new well. See, yesterday, that well that served me so well when I was 3 years old, that well that may have been instrumental in saving my life, he found out had bacteria in it, but boy, he had a plan for it too. He said, I'm going to put a windmill over the well. I'm building a new housing. They've told me that if I dig it out and clean it out and pump it out and I keep the water circulating, that this well will come back, and the water deep within the spring of this well is still good water. The well deep within the spring is still good water. It's only that that's stagnant and has not been moved and has not been flushed and has not been flowing that is no longer good. He's given the place new name, even. I called it the old home place. He's going to call it Buzzard's Roost, because every spring in that old barn that nothing has ever been done to, every spring in that old barn, there's a buzzard that for over 30 years now, that has been the roosting place of a buzzard who comes to lay eggs and hatch new and see the new life fly out. He has no plans to do away with the old barn. He's going to restore the old barn because he thinks that that old buzzard ought to have a place to come and hatch new life. And then I remembered, as I drove back last night, God doesn't promise you and God doesn't promise me all new things. Never has. Never will. God doesn't promise new things. God promises that he will make all things new. Behold the truth. That can begin here today with you and with me. And no better place for it to begin than to come to the table of life, break the bread, dip it into the cup, consume that which is the gift of God to the people of God, and rise as new creatures, full of new hope, new dreams, and even maybe with a new name. And may you who have ears to hear, hear. Amen.